are, Jesus replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, Here are my mother and my brothers." This morning we have got two lessons that speak about relationships. Our relationship with Almighty God, our Creator and Redeemer, and likewise, our relationship with one another. The first lesson, unfortunately, I don't have much time. I'd love to talk a lot more about this first lesson. It's where we see the people of Israel having a temper tantrum. "Oh, I want a king, just like everybody else. Oh, why can't I have that joy? Why can't I be like other nations?" And they go and they whine and they moan to the prophet Samuel. And Samuel says, you don't just feel different, you are different. You're supposed to be different. You're God's called out people. And your king is God himself. What does that mean for our relationship with God? He asked the people of Israel and with one another. Unfortunately, there's just not enough time. I wish we could speak so much more about that, but we have to look at the gospel lesson this morning. In our gospel lesson today, we catch a glimpse of God's great plan to form a new people. To form a new people in and through Jesus. In his blood. And I have to say this now, I want to underscore it right from the outset. I want us to catch this morning. Our religion, Christianity, is not a collection of ideas that you can just tack on to a fully formed existing life. Okay? Christianity is not some moral tips or chicken soup for the soul that you can just spread over a fully formed existing life, kind of like peanut butter. Okay. I met a young man this week. He was fascinating. I was chatting with him, and I said, "So, are you a Christian? Are you part of a church?" He said, "No." And I said, "So, are you an agnostic? Are you an atheist?" "No, I just go to church." You hear of this phenomenon called nuns? N-O-N-E-S. Nuns. Just isn't not sisters, right? N-O-N-E-S. They have no formal religion. It's not that they believe in God or don't believe in God. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter to them. That is more insidious than dogmas, right? Because guess what? We can fall into that trap too. It's just that we happen to show up to church. Think about your identity. Who do you claim to be? I mean, my identity, I could say, well, I'm American, and I live in Ohio, and I'm white, and I'm suburban, and I'm middle class, and I'm middle aged, and scouting was really important to me growing up, fully formed life. And then on top of that, I just take a big scoop of that Christianity peanut butter and spread it on top. And when there's a problem, though, I can scrape it right off. And I know it's really it's that I'm American and I'm from Ohio, white, middle class suburban. That is not Christianity. That's a sickly parody of Christianity. Okay? No, my first and last identity, your first and last identity, is that I am in Christ, you are in Christ, and everything else about who we claim to be has to be transfigured by that first and last Alpha and Omega. Everything else about us has to be transfigured by the Christ in whom we have been plunged in baptism and come out a new person. Everything else has to be transfigured by him or else left on the scrap heap. Be burned away rubbish, because it is now worthless. It can serve no purpose. In our gospel lesson this morning, we see Jesus in this thick, crowded house, gathering with people, women and men, whose hearts and whose minds and souls are starting to catch fire for him. about this week. What does it mean to convert? What does it mean to be converted? What does that mean? They are being changed by him. They're finding their whole identity in him. They're starting to see the world. And every other human being, and the whole of God's good creation, now through him. Not their eyes with a little bit of Jesus on it. No, through his eyes. They've laid down their own eyes and taken on his. They're starting to see the world through Jesus. But what happens? What happens in the story? What happens? The old ways, the order, the pattern, the plan, the identities of the old world come creeping back in. Look at the very beginning of the gospel passage. Take a look down at your insert. Look at the gospel passage from Mark. Look at the very beginning. Look where it gets up at the top. It talks about his family. What do they think has happened to Jesus? What do they think has happened to Jesus? They think he has lost his mind. They think he has gone completely insane. Crazy stuff he's talking about. Crazy stuff, off-wall stuff, banana stuff. We're willing to tolerate this to a point. Up to a point, I'll tolerate. Here's it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, maybe. Love your enemies? Are you kidding? Love your enemies. That's allegory, isn't it? Let's see, in the text, it leads us to think it's allegory. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your enemy. Eat my flesh. Boggles the mind, doesn't it? Drink my blood. Take up your cross and follow. Crazy stuff. And here is Jesus talking to these new believers. They're converting him, laying aside everything for him to become new people, to become new in him. And his mother and his brothers send messengers into the house. These messengers, they can't even squeeze in. Why? Because the old reality, the old identities, they got strangled over them. They got locked in them. Their eyes are shut tight. So they send in messengers. The messengers go in. They squeeze through the crowd of people. And they say to Jesus, your mom, your brothers, your sisters, they say, come out now. You got to come back to reality now, Jesus. But what does Jesus say? He uses it as a teaching opportunity. What does he say? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? The ones who do the will of God. The ones who yearn for the true rule of God, the true kingdom of God, with all their heart, who yearn for it and thirst for it like a weary traveler in a desert. The ones who pray those words, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. Notice the prayer is it. Well, there's this wonderful heaven up there where God's will is done. We realistically get by. We try our best. We kind of muddle through. This is some good tips. No, that's not the prayer. The prayer is, thy kingdom come on earth the same as it is in heaven. Where God's sovereign rule is plain. Those who pray those radical, crazy words and mean them. Those who understand what's tripling and tripping and trickling out of our mouths. Those who pray those words. Those are my brothers, Jesus says. This is my family. This is God's new family. Paul talks about this in several different places, most obviously in his letter to the Galatians. Paul writes, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children. And I love my brother Drew, and I know down in my bones that my brother Drew loves me. We love each other. Truth be told, though, there have been moments in our life, in our upbringing, in this thing, in which we have not liked each other very much. I'll share two stories. I've said a couple of these to you before, some of them. First, when we were kids at church, we were both acolytes, and my God, and that is We are a people who know grace. We are a people who know not only the cross and expect the cross, but also know resurrection. We have been loved by God first, saved by God first, not because of anything we've done, not because of anything we have done to deserve that grace and love and mercy. So, because God has loved us first, because God, out of sheer grace, immeasurable, inscrutable, mind-boggling, amazing grace, because God, out of sheer grace, has loved us first, we, therefore, extend grace, grace to one another. And not a little bit of grace, a little bit, but 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Behold how they love one another.